I hope you brought a Bible and you'll open it with me to the book of Mark chapter 4. And we're going to share a message with you, hearing the voice of God. Now let me share this with you before we get into this passage. God intended for mankind not to live by virtue of their own ability to think through life and make decisions based on their own understanding and their own will, but God created all of us to be able, if we belong to Him, to be able to hear Him speak to our hearts and our lives. And by obeying that voice, we would save ourselves so much heartache and pain in life. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." In other words, when you hear the voice of God, there's your mandate. You don't need to say, "Well, I'm going to think about it." When God speaks to you, that's the time for you to act upon it. That's how God has made you. If you hear the voice of God speak to you and then you don't do it, what you're doing is making a place for Satan in your life. Because just as surely as God says, "Go this way," and you go that way, guess who's going to be waiting for you that way? That's the ambush. That's where Satan's going to be. So we shared this message last Sunday, and I got so much feedback from it as people were leaving and going out that I felt like God would have me get back on that same subject and share with you what Jesus Christ shared about hearing God's voice and the significance and importance of obeying it and doing what God tells us to do when God speaks to us. So let's look in Mark chapter 4, then we're going to begin with verse 21. And read down through about verse 25. Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hidden which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And if any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And he said unto them, "Take heed what you hear, because with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. And you that hear shall, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." Now these are the red letters. These are the letters that Jesus Christ spoke about when he is inviting us not only to hear God, but to obey God and the repercussions to not doing that. So let's pray and ask God to assist us and help us understand this passage as Brother Lynn prays for us.
Our most righteous Heavenly Father, Lord, we cry out to you this morning to forgive us our sins. Through the blood of Jesus, our sins have been covered, Lord. We repent. Father, we ask that you strengthen us so that we can better follow you as Christians. Lord, we pray that you would attune our ears to your voice and that it is your voice that we seek to hear this morning. Teach us, God, of these truths. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I believe that many Americans, maybe most Americans, I'm not sure, but all of us have lived our life in a great respect, living affected by lies and not the reality of things. God wants us to come to a full awareness of the truth about life. And having come to that awareness of truth, we'll find that we are set free. You see, all of us are born in bondage. All of us are born with wrong attitudes. All of us are born with a sin nature that leads us down the wrong path. And God wants us to come not to greater willpower, but to greater truth, to discover what is the reality of things as God sees them. You know, if America can only get a hold of what the truth about God and the truth about us, it would solve so many of our difficulties and problems. First of all, when we find out the truth, it's the truth about God. You know, God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere at the same time. That means God has all power. And if God has all power, we need to get to know that God. That God who has all the power. God is omniscient. That means that God knows everything. There's not anything God doesn't know. As a matter of fact, the thing that stunned me when I was reading the scriptures 40 years ago is that God knew me before I was even born. That's called God's foreknowledge. I was reading the book of Jeremiah where Jeremiah found out about that. God said to him, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you had come out of your mother's womb, I had already ordained you and sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations. Think about that, that the God that knows everything knew you before you were ever born and already had a plan for you. I mean, that knowledge of that truth makes me say this, whatever James Strait might have had as far as ambitions are concerned, I want to find out what God's ambitions are for me. I want to know what God wants to do. So when we find the truth about God, we will discover the truth about us and see how we fit in. Here's the way Jesus put this to the people that were believing upon him. He said to the Jews who believed upon him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall find the truth, and the truth, can you finish that? And the truth shall set you free. There is a freedom that we sang about earlier in the passage, but it's a freedom to have everything active and energized in your life that God has put in your life. Many people have talents and abilities that they didn't even dream they had. But once they come to God, they're able to experience all that God has for them and to discover the truth about their own life. As a matter of fact, a lot of us have lies about our life stuck into the fabric of the psychology of our souls. Some of us think that we're just, things just don't work out for me. Anybody here ever thought that? Anybody ever thought that, well, you're not as good as somebody else is? You're not deserving like somebody else is. Oh, that can work for them, but it can never work for me. You see, those are lies that are stuck in our minds. And many people think about themselves in such inappropriate ways, always putting themselves down because they don't realize the truth about themselves. I want to tell you, Jesus said later in this same chapter, and if the Son make you free, then you will be free indeed. And what he was meaning is that you're going to have the joy that Satan has robbed you of. You're going to have the confidence that Satan's taken away from you. And you're going to feel that you, just the way the Apostle Paul felt about his life, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. So discovering the truth about God only comes by listening to God. I mean, God has got to speak to you. I can't convince anybody of anything, just myself. And, you know, I have learned this in talking with people who don't know God, that I have a real ease about doing that because I'm not trying to convince anybody about God and what God can do in their life. God is well able to do that. But I do make myself available to God to be an instrument that God can use to share the truth about God with people. And one of the truths about every person's life is you've got to come to realize that without God, you're a sinner that's in need of the saving grace of God. You're not all right. You're not okay without God saving you, and you're coming to a saving knowledge of him. And that's hard for some people to really get. I was talking to a man recently who said to me, you know, that he said, well, I really didn't have to change anything, but I became a Christian because I was already pretty good. Well, there's someone who is yet to discover the truth, really. And it only took a couple of series of questions. If somebody says that to you, you could ask them these two or three questions, and I guarantee you they'll change their tune quickly. You could ask them this. Well, have you ever told a lie? I've never asked anybody that question. Let me just ask all of you. Is there anybody here who has not ever told a lie? Can I see your hand? Did you almost raise yours? Okay. You know, okay, no. So, well, you say, then you're a liar, because that's That's what you call someone who tells lies. You're a liar. Well, I guess if you put it that way, maybe, well, I had lied a bunch, but you've lied, so you're a liar. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, I guess I have stolen. Well, then you're a lying thief. You know. So, I mean, right off that, these two questions, you're already in pretty bad shape. I asked another guy one question. I'm not going to mention what that is. I did in the morning service. It brought so much conviction on this guy when I asked him the third question. And I think he was beginning to think, you know, I think I really do need to make a change, because here's what I'm getting at. You got to know the truth about yourself. You're a sinner that needs a Savior. I was talking to Brandon and Caleb when they were just real little. I think Caleb was about 2 years old, about the age of Samuel now. And Brandon had just gotten baptized. And I was laying in bed with them, and I was praying with them. I'd always bless them at night. I'd pray with them, then I'd put my hands on their heads, and I would bless them in the name of Jesus and bless my kids for years doing that. And so I was laying in the bed with them. One was on this head right here. The other one had his head right here. I was in the middle, and we were talking after we prayed. Brandon was on a spiritual high, just been baptized, and he said, you know, Dad, he said, if Caleb dies tonight, he'll go to hell, won't he? Caleb was 2 years old, and Caleb's eyes got big. He didn't even know where hell was or what it was, but it sounded like it's not somewhere to go. And so I said, no, he won't be. I said, he won't go to hell. And Brandon said, well, he hasn't been baptized, has he? And I said, no, he hasn't been baptized, but I said, but he's safe. And then Brandon's face was full of perplexity, and he said, well, I know he's a sinner. You know, I mean, he could not figure out. He knew that Caleb was a dirty, rotten sinner at 2 years old. And, you know, that's the truth. We've got to come to that. But if coming to that awareness that we are a sinner that needs a Savior is finding out the truth about ourselves, and then we can begin to really grow. Now, let me share another reason why you need to be able to hear the voice of God is because you cannot experience genuine faith without hearing the voice of God, hearing God speak. Now, let me share this with you. A lot of people don't understand the nature of genuine faith. There's a human type of faith that we must exercise to live in this world. I'm going to get on an Israeli jet, not a jet, but an Israeli passenger plane here. In just a few days, Carolyn and I are, and Bub and Ruth, and I'm going to have to place some faith in the pilot. That's human faith. I'm trusting that guy, this is not his first flight, you know, that he's skilled in what he's doing. But that's human faith. That's not the kind of faith the Bible is speaking about. God, when the Bible speaks about faith, it's speaking about something that comes to you from God. It's a gift from God. It comes from a different dimension. It is not initiated in a human heart. It comes from God. Let me illustrate this with two passages. Number one, salvation, for example. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Now, where does it come from? Through faith, and that not of yourself. The explanation, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, the Bible says that the faith that saves a person is not the faith they have in their own heart, but the faith that comes to them from God as a gift of God. Neither is it their ability to work and do the right thing. It's a matter of grace. Do you understand that? And so faith has to come. How? That Paul tells us in the book of Romans, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And I mean, God's Word means God speaking. God's voice coming through somehow to you. God's Word getting to you. One of the pleasures and the meat of my life is to be able to preach and speak and teach God's Word. It has such a blessing to me because people feel God's presence through words. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, this thing about hearing is the greatest asset you could have. Nobody is really trying to develop the skill of hearing very much unless they come to understand the tremendous asset that it is. It's an asset even in the physical realm, in the business realm, in all these other realms. But in the spiritual realm, it is absolutely necessary for you to grow and have what God wants you to have, that you develop the ability to hear from God. And that hearing, or the voice of God, comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith is the currency of heaven. That means whatever God has got that you want, you got to have faith in order to get it. We have access to God's grace through faith, the Bible says. We have salvation through faith, the Bible says. The Bible says we don't walk by sight. We walk how? By faith. See, everything, our conduct of life, the Bible says, as a matter of fact, it says the just shall live by faith. You see, it's the agency by which a just person gets by, from faith to faith. So their life becomes a tremendous thing of walking with God and living by faith. Now, you cannot look at things as they seem to be. You have to be able to see and hear things as they are from God's point of view. And that's why sometimes things, we can never quite understand what's going on in our life unless we develop a hearing ear and a seeing eye so that we can figure out what God might be doing. And some of the things we may not really know until we get on the other side. But we can learn a whole lot right now. I was thinking about the trials that people go through in their Christian life and as they develop their walk of faith. And I thought about that old song, Lynn, do you remember this old song? Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land, but we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. You see, if you develop a hearing ear and an ability to listen to God, you'll discover the truth, and in discovering the truth, you'll discover a lot of why we do go through trials and tribulations and the difficulties that we go through. But there's a third reason why developing this hearing ear is such an important thing, to be able to hear the voice of God, is the Spirit of God is communicated through speaking, and it's received through hearing. Now, I'm going to say that again. I'd like for you to say, kind of give yourself a mental slap and say, what's that? Again, let me say it again. The Spirit of God is communicated through speaking, and it is received into a human life through the agency of hearing. That means what takes place on a Sunday morning when there's an anointed speaker from God that has a message from God and is speaking to people is that the potential of God's thoughts and God's purposes and God's power and God's mercy and God's grace can be communicated through God's Spirit into a human heart. And that is about the most big-time phenomenon I can think of a human being can ever receive. I mean, you can come in mighty low and leave mighty high. You can come in feeling condemned and unworthy and go out feeling redeemed and saved and right with God. You could go out feeling dirty and in need of cleansing and go out with your sins forgiven and white as snow. Even though they're red as crimson, yet they'll be white as wool, the Bible says. And what I'm saying to you is that the Spirit of God is communicated through a person speaking, and it is received through a person hearing. And that is what we're doing right now in this setting. So there can be tremendous things happen in your life if you'll just keep your ears open and let what God is saying get into your heart. Let me give you a proof text for this in the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul is writing to a church that he helped to institute or to begin. While he was there, there was great revival. And the Galatians, they began to trust God and believe God, and they were having a great time. Well, the Apostle Paul leaves. And later, Judaizers, Jewish believers, at least they said they were, whether they were or not, I'm not sure, but they came and began to proselyte and teach them. They were still under the law. And they got them involved in works of the law instead of grace that they learned through the Apostle Paul. So Paul is writing to them to try to get them back in understanding what the gospel is really all about. It's not what you can do for God. It's not how many laws you can keep. It's what God can do for you by out of his mercy and grace if you'll turn to him in faith and repentance. And so that's the gospel. Now, here's what he asked in this question. And it's so revealing about what I just said about how the Spirit of God is communicated. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "He that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Do you see that? He said, does a guy who is able to bring miracles into your congregation, does he do that by teaching you rules and regulations? No, he ministers the Spirit to you, and you receive it by the hearing of faith. And miracles can take place in your life. You know, I love the story of a movie that was being made by Peter Marshall, Meet the Master, about the death of Peter Marshall. He was a Methodist pastor that was a chaplain to the Senate and to the House in those days. And they were doing this retake of Peter Marshall preaching a sermon to some congregation. And they had all the actors out there in the congregation. They had one person who was in a wheelchair who was really afflicted, couldn't walk. And while this actor was preaching the word that Peter Marshall, his sermon, the guy in the wheelchair responded and got healed on the set. What an amazing thing. A miracle taking place. And you know, I believe that over the years of my ministry and preaching and so forth, I've seen lots of miracles take place in people's lives, and they can take place exactly where you're sitting at today. God can relieve you of pressure, of anxiety, of difficulties through the hearing of faith. God can solve an addiction through the hearing of faith. God can resolve a psychological, emotional problem through the hearing of faith. God can heal a person's body through the miracle of the healing of faith. The Apostle Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, and while he was preaching, he looked at a man listening to the sermon. And the Bible says, and Paul, looking at him, perceived that he had the faith to be healed. And then the man was healed. A miracle took place. And so financially, relationally, physically, emotionally, in every way, while you're hearing the Word of God, if you can respond to what God is saying to you and you hear God's voice, all of those many possibilities can happen in your life. You can leave a changed person today if you need that change in your life. So the Spirit is not only communicated, but it's also received through the hearing of faith. Look at the next verse, Galatians 3:2. "This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" What that's speaking about is this. Did you have to go out and work and work and work and work before the Spirit of God moved into your heart and changed you? No. You listened to God's word, you responded to it, and the Spirit of God came into your life. Now, I want to share something, if those of you that are not so familiar with the purpose of the Spirit of God in a human being's life. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to make a man, in the sense that God created them. It takes the Holy Spirit of God inside a woman to make a woman, in the sense that God created us. In other words, until we can be animated and motivated and activated in our thought life by God, we are not what God intended that we would be. I can think back about my own life, and I can just tell you that I was filled with worldly ambitions. I was filled with lust of the flesh. I was filled with the pride of life. I was filled with all the same things that the world fills everybody else with. But there came a radical change in my life when I received the Spirit of God into my life. And it changed everything. And that change, he is not done with me yet. And he's not done with any of us yet who are letting the Holy Spirit of God control and fill their life. How does that happen? By working hard? By greater determination? By more willpower? No. By the hearing of faith. What you're doing right this very moment. Hearing and opening your heart up to God. There's a passage in the book of Corinthians where the Apostle Paul is preaching He's actually writing a letter, but his heart is preaching. And he suddenly stops in the letter and says, O ye Corinthians, open wide your heart unto me. There's no restraint upon me in my speaking, but there's restraint in your heart. And what he is saying to them is open up your heart to God so you can hear from God. I'll guarantee you this morning, you can cut God off just like that, or you can open up your heart to God. There is the capability of a human being to harden their heart against God, and there's the capability of a human being to soften their heart and to open it up to God and to draw near to God. And that's something that you must do for yourself. No other person can do that. All we can do is, as ministers of the gospel, is to present truths to you that come from God's word. And in the volition of a human heart, you can say yes to God or you can say no to God while you're sitting out there. How many of you have sat in a church service and said no to God before? I have to say I have. My brother Donald, God was convicting him of his sinfulness. Kay was trying to get him to go to church, and he didn't want to go. One Saturday morning, there was a preacher at the door. Donald went to the door, and this guy shared the gospel with him, and it was greatly convicting. And Donald was already being spoken to by God. God's voice was speaking to him. She had bought him a Bible. He opened it up and he couldn't understand the Bible. And he took the Bible while they were having breakfast and threw it against the kitchen wall, and it fell behind one of the cabinets there and laid there for about a week. After that preacher came by, Donald said, where is your church? And he said, well, we bought the old funeral home, and that's where we're having church. So Donald says, I'll be going to another church. You know, so he thanks the guy. And Kay says to him, well, Donald, don't you think we ought to go to that church? He said, I ain't going to no funeral home to church. He said, we'll go to another church. But I don't know how Kay managed to get him down there, but she got him down there where God was speaking to him through that guy. And he sat in the back, and they had those old highway hymnals. And, man, he was so convicted that when the preacher gave the invitation, he had that highway hymnal, and he had just almost torn it up, squeezing it together, holding it together, trying to keep from saying yes to God. Finally, the preacher said to him, sir, why don't you put the hymnal down? And he put it down and went up and made a profession of faith to Christ. He twisted the book almost apart, brother, but he finally said yes to God. What I'm trying to say to you today with that illustration is this, that God's speaking here. Don't go out of here and think he's not. What you need to think is, am I saying yes to God or no to God? Because when you hear the voice of God through the word of God, that's all you could do is agree with it or disagree. And if you disagree, things will not go well for you. That's the importance of listening. Now, I want to try to share for the rest of the message three things that you need to do if you want to learn how to listen and hear the voice of God, okay? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible makes this statement. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. Now, that's not talking about human perspective. It's talking about divine perspective. The ability to see what God wants you to see, and the ability to hear what God wants you to hear, the voice of God. See, the seeing eye, the hearing ear, God's made both of those things. If you can learn to hear from God and learn to see the circumstances of your life, you will be so far ahead. I'm telling you, you'll be so far ahead in every dimension of your life if you develop the ability to hear God. Now, here are the three things that I recommend that you do if you want to develop this. First of all, you realize you have got to be saved. You have got to be regenerated. Your spirit, your dead spirit, has to be made alive. This is not in the notes here, but this is preparatory to this. For example, when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, he could not understand what Jesus was even saying about being born again. He said, man, how can this be? And Jesus made this statement to him. He said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, that no one can even see the kingdom of God unless he be born again. You see what he's saying? You cannot have the perception of God until you come to a saving knowledge of God. But let's assume you are saved, that you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you could develop a hearing ear and a seeing eye. And here's the first thing that I recommend that you do. Number one, you cut off all the voices in your life that you do not need to hear and tune in the ones that you do. Okay, now what I mean by that, I mean there are all kinds of voices speaking to you. I'm going to illustrate in just a moment, but let me give this one verse of Scripture. Paul is speaking in the book of Corinthians once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he makes this statement there. And he's teaching something else, but he uses this this word here. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification or importance. In other words, he says this, there are many, many people speak to you. There are many voices that speak to you, and every one of them has significance. Let me tell you something, that every human voice you hear, every demonic voice you hear has significance in your life. Like, for example, let me illustrate this. How many of you have ever been cooped up with someone that gripes and complains all the time? Does their voice have significance? I guarantee you it does. It about drives you nuts, doesn't it? I mean, as a matter of fact, if you're around someone who nags and complains and bickers all the time, you almost want to give up your life, you know? It just makes you miserable. That voice has great significance. I say, run from a nagger. Avoid the complainer. Minimize the time you're around them. They will ruin your life, I guarantee you. So you try to cut off the voices from you, and some people are just, they curse and blackguard. And you ought to tell them, look, I just don't like to hear that stuff, okay? You know, tell them. I mean, their voices are a pain. So you need to cut off some voices like that. But there are other voices that are emotional, psychological. But you hear some on the television sometimes, you need to turn them off. Sometimes, I borrowed someone's truck once. It was a deacon, as a matter of fact, in a church that I pastored once. I was moving and doing something. And I turned on the key, and he had it on a country western station. And this voice came on talking about how gloom and doom it was. And, oh, God, I hope it's good today or something like that. I thought, man, if I listened to that all day, I'd be depressed, you know. And I turned it off. There's certain songs you don't need to listen to. They'll actually get in your head. A lot of songs have their theme is adultery and drunkenness and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to listen to that. That's a voice that will rob your spiritual life. But there are other voices that are more subtle that tell you you're no good, voices that tell you other people are no good, voices that cause you to be judgmental inside your head. Did you know there are many, many people who have killed other people? When asked by authorities, why did you do this? Their reply, a voice told me to do it. A demonic thought that they could not get out of their mind. Listen, I'm telling you, if you want to hear the voice of God, you need to cut out all those kind of voices and not listen to those. And there's a world of those that you need to cut out and get rid of your life. But you need to make great room for this one great voice. You need to create space for God to speak to you. Listen to me about creating space. There's a law of spiritual life that everybody needs to understand. If you create space for God, you do something intentionally with the purpose of trying to connect with God. If you will do that and you'll make a space for God, God will occupy the space that you make for him. If you make space for the devil, newsflash, he's going to be all over that. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Be angry, sin not, neither give place to the devil. Because if you give place and space to the devil, he will occupy the space you give him. So you need to make quality time for God to speak to you. And, of course, Sunday morning is a great time to do that. But I recommend if you want to develop a hearing ear that you do it every day. Listen to what Isaiah says. He says in Isaiah 53 through 5, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." What a great asset to be able to speak a word that's just appropriate, right in the right season. How did he learn that? Well, he tells us, "He wakeneth morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God's opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither did I turn backward." What he was saying is, morning by morning, morning by morning, Isaiah made time for God to speak to him. You need to carve out of your life a little time for God. If you can't do that, you are not serious about following God. Out of all the time you got, you need to carve out some and say, this is going to be for me to hear from God. And now here's the way I do this, and this is the way you should do it. You should pray a little and listen a lot. You know, sometimes we pray and pray and pray and pray, and it's like God was saying, if you'll shut up, I'll try to answer you, you know, just a minute. But we just go on and go on and go on. And then we need to read a little and then listen a lot to what we're reading. Do you see what I'm saying? A lot of difficult passages in the Bible. I remember when I was a young Christian pastor, I would think, somebody told me, you've got to have a good theological library. So I robbed Carolyn's cookie jar, was hardly nothing in it anyways, and bought books. I bought books and books, had spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars for theological books. And then I remember, and I was not getting a lot out of some of these commentaries and things that I was reading. Then I heard an old wise preacher say, you know, he said, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to these commentaries. I'm trying to talk like he did. Dr. Vernon McGee, I think is who he said. Is who it was, and he said, in the end, these commentaries, he said, are just what they say they are. They're just commentators is what they are. Because I'd read some of these commentaries, and it would say things like this about the letter to the Corinthians. Well, it's possible that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. Well, I guess it is because he said he did, you know. And it was said that somebody else might have wrote it. And I got to reading all that stuff, and I was thinking, if God says the Apostle Paul wrote this in the Bible, then he wrote this in the Bible. And I don't want any kind of word that causes me to doubt the truthfulness of the Scripture. And so when I read a commentary and it starts that liberal kind of thinking, I don't pay much attention to that anymore. I want to believe, and I do believe, what God is saying through the Scriptures. You need to make time in the Word and in prayer for Him day by day. Listen to what the wisest man in history said, Solomon, in Proverbs 8:33. He said, "Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching once a week at my gates." Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. Here's the idea. The idea is that if God is all that he says he is, how deserving is he to just a little bit of our time to sit and listen to him, to take our Bible and prayer and then listen to what he's got to say to us. A lot of time we rush off with the day, and we're not prepared for the day because we haven't met with God. We need to meet with the Lord every day, and we need to have some time. Now, sometimes 15 minutes just spent with the Lord with your cup of coffee is going to be, it'll save you hours sometimes. I'm going to finish up. In the end, your decision to pay attention to the voice of God is going to determine the whole rest of your life. Whether you're a person that's filled with happiness and joy, whether you're a person who is able to be competent in life, to get things together in your life, is going to depend upon whether or not you listen to the voice of God when God speaks to you. I want to read this passage from the Amplified that Jesus said here. Be careful how you hear what you hear, because with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. Listen to what the Amplified says. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Here's the idea. If you pay attention to what God says and you try to do it, God will give you more. You'll get more virtue and more knowledge. You'll grow spiritually, and there's a whole lot more God will give you that really pay attention to what God says to you. I hope that you'll do that today. I want to end my sermon with a last invitation from God in the Scripture. It's found in the book of Revelation, and it goes this way. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life. What I'm saying is God is saying that to you today, that if you need Christ in your life, you need God in your life, that's the water of life. Jesus said, I am the water of life to the woman at the well. You'll find everything that you need and find in Christ. Let's bow our heads here for just a moment. And I'd like to address my remarks to a person that may be here today that doesn't know Christ as your Savior. Here's the three things that you need to do. Number one, you need to repent of your sins. Jesus said, all of you shall likewise perish unless you repent. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Peter preached to thousands on the day of Pentecost saying the same thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means you just got to turn your life over to God. You got to change the way you've been living. Instead of going away from God, you got to go toward God. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You have to make him the Lord of your life. It's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saves you. But you need to let Jesus become the boss, the Lord of your life. Whosoever shall confess Jesus as the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to do that, I'm asking you to pray this very simple prayer just now. Pray, dear God, today I'm repenting. I'm turning my life towards you. Today I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ. I don't understand it all, but I know that I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and I want to be saved. I'm turning to Christ. I'm believing in Christ, and now I'm making Jesus the boss of my life. You don't have to worry of whether or not you can do it or not, because God is the one who does it in your life. You turn to him, and he'll turn to you, and he'll help you be everything you want to be. If you're willing to do those three things today, pray this prayer. Dear Lord, forgive me. Today I repent. Today I trust you. Today I make you the Lord of my life. If you're praying,